This is Ed Mazur, Chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our program today is Chicago Ready for Mayoral Term Limits. Included as the moderator, Kristen McQuarrie, an editorial board member of the Chicago Tribune, Cliff Kelly, former alderman and host of the Cliff Kelly Show, the attorney Bert Odelson, founding partner of Odelson & Sterk, and former governor of Illinois, Patrick Quinn. Now, this program was planned a long time before Rahm Emanuel announced that he would not run. All the speakers talked about either being pro-term limits or anti-term limits. There are even people in the audience who had circulated petitions for term limits. We got a lesson in constitutional law from the attorney Bert Odelson. He talked about the what is the law now. Is Chicago ready for term limits? Are the people ready? Are politicians ready? And the rule of three, the Illinois election code that only limits three initiatives on the ballot at one time. This is the rule of the land currently by the federal judiciary. Former Governor Quinn talked about the needs for initiative and recall. There are 25 municipalities in Illinois currently that have term limits or term limits on their ballots. And he feels that Chicago should be a city that has term limits on their ballot. Former Alderman Cliff Kelly said many people want fewer public officials, and many people don't understand what public officials do. He is a supporter of term limits. Moderator Kristen McQuarrie asked former Governor Quinn about the initiative. Is it personal, an anti-Rahm strategy, or was it policy? And he said it was a combination of policy and maybe a little bit of personality. He believes that Rahm Emanuel may have been influenced in withdrawing from any future mayoral races by the initiative idea. Then we receive some breaking news. Former Governor Quinn and his staff have filed with the Illinois Supreme Court a writ of mandamus mandating that the people who vote for term limits, since it is already on the ballot in the city of Chicago, that those votes be counted. We do not know what the Illinois Supreme Court will say on this issue, but that happened today. If there are term limits for the president, several said, why not have term limits for people like mayors? Should the General Assembly act to change current legislation? That is what this program is all about.
Thank you so much. I did just come from our new building, which is Prudential Plaza, and the Cubs World Series trophies in the lobby, so that's where everyone is, just so you know. It was very crowded. I could hardly get out of there alive.
That's a look.
Thank you all for coming. When we planned this program, it was before Rahm Emanuel dropped his bombshell announcement. So we're still going to talk about the need for term limits. We have pro and con viewpoints up here. We'll touch a little bit on whether or not we should have term limits at the state level as well. And I just wanted to start out with telling a little bit about, just in my experience covering politics, I didn't used to support term limits. I thought, we have elections, we make it really easy for people to vote. We have early voting, we have online voting, we have same-day registration. Maybe it's a problem of voter apathy. Then I started hanging around Bert Odelson when I was at the Southtown and watching how expert election attorneys can knock sincere and good candidates off the ballot with things like not numbering their pages correctly or missing a little, maybe not having their name in the right place on their petition sheets. And then I sort of started to change my mind. So we're going to talk to Bert a little bit about that. Now I think with REMAP, and we can't seem to get that on the ballot, and then we can't seem to get term limits on the ballot, it does feel a little bit like the system is rigged, and maybe term limits would be the answer to flushing out some longtime members of the General Assembly and or City Hall. So that said, I wanted to just ask in the room how many of you maybe circulated petitions to try to get term limits on the ballot at some point. Raise your hands. Okay, so a few of you, and I'm sure that's been frustrating because you're standing at train stops and train stations and trying to collect signatures. How many of you generally support the idea of term limits? Raise your hand. Okay, about half. And how many oppose? A few. And who's indifferent? Okay. Well, we're going to start our program today with Bert. He's going to kind of lay the groundwork as to where we stand with what is the law now, And something interesting that the guests may not know is Governor Pat Quinn's effort, which I wrote a column about, supported, thought it would be a good idea, to try to institute mayoral term limits. One of Burt's cases from 2017 is what the Board of Elections used in order to knock Governor Quinn's idea off the ballot. So if they get into a fight at some point, it's all right. They've had a little tussle recently. But we'll start with Burt, maybe 3 to 4 minutes, and I will try to keep you to that. And then we'll move to Governor Quinn, and then we'll move to Cliff Kelly.
Thanks, Kristen. It's ironic that we sit here today, almost 80 years since a very infamous alderman of the 43rd Ward, Patty Baller, said, Chicago ain't ready for reform. And here we sit and with the notion that Chicago ain't ready for term limits. It's an interesting proposition as to whether the people of Chicago are ready for term limits versus the politicians of Chicago as to whether they're ready for term limits. So you have an idea that you'd like to take to the voters of the city, say whether term limits should or shouldn't be on the ballot for the mayor of Chicago. You go and get a group of supporters, and you spend months, as Governor Quinn will tell you, circulating petitions to get enough signatures to place the referendum question on the ballot. But then you find out, right before you file your own citizen initiative referendum petition, that the city council places their own referendums on the ballot, and somehow now the people will be voting on whether there should be a plastic straw ban and not mayoral term limits. Doesn't seem right, but that's what we have. How did it happen? How did we get here where the term limit proposition is not on the ballot? It happened because Article 7, Section 6F of the Illinois Constitution provides that a home rule municipality shall have the power to provide for its own officers, their manner of selection and terms of office, as provided by referendum or as otherwise authorized by law. The recent Illinois Supreme case of Johnson versus Ames, and we have Mr. Nally here today, who was the election attorney who handled that in the Illinois Supreme Court, said that municipal term limits are constitutional and that they are precisely the type of change authorized for home rule and non-home rule units of government in our Constitution. So what's stopping Governor Quinn's mayoral term limit question from being on the November ballot? A little something in the law called the rule of threes. The rule of three stems from section 28-1 of the Illinois Election Code, which provides that not more than three public questions may be submitted to referendum with respect to a political subdivision at the same election. It also states that the first three validly initiated or certified propositions are the ones that make the ballot, and there is no differentiation between binding and advisory referenda questions in the election code. How do we know that that is really what the law means? Well, we know, and as I explained to Pat early on, the Seventh Circuit, United States Court of Appeals, in a case called Jones versus Quackenbush, decided only a couple of months ago, held that the right to pass legislation through a referendum is a state-created right and not guaranteed by the United States Constitution. The court upheld the constitutionality of the rule of three because the rule of three does not distinguish by viewpoint or content and has a rational basis of limiting the number of referenda on the ballot, which improves the chances that each will receive enough attention from the voters to promote a well-considered outcome. The court also held that because of the absence of a federal constitutional right to citizen-initiated referenda, the Constitution does not prevent a state, which happened in Illinois, from reserving the referendum process for its own communication, asking the voters to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down, to municipal proposals while preventing others from having access to the ballot. In other words, when a city council finds that a citizen-initiated referendum petition is being circulated, it can move quickly to pass a resolution or an ordinance that puts three questions on the ballot just before the citizen petition is filed and thus block the citizen petition question from being on the ballot. Fair? Maybe not. But the rule of three has now been held the rule of the land by the federal appellate opinion. Judge Easterbrook, a very distinguished and prominent member of the United States Court of Appeals, said in a very legally sound and amusing opinion, the last sentence of his opinion said, "The price of political dirty tricks must be collected at the ballot box rather than the courthouse." In other words, stop filing these lawsuits, sorry, Pat, about whether a proposition should or shouldn't be on the ballot. Take it to the people and let the people decide. So on, with that basis, I'll turn it over.
Thank you, Bert. I'm sure the governor would like to comment on the rule of three and talk a little bit about where his case stands. Governor?
Well, very good. Appreciate the City Club hosting our gathering today. City Club began in 1903, and if we went back in time to that period, there were two former governors of Illinois, John Peter Altgeld and later Governor Edward Dunn, who were both believers in the initiative process. Actually, Governor Dunn was the mayor of Chicago for a two-year term back in 1905. At that time, it was a two-year term. He later got elected governor in 1912. And he, in particular, was a fervent believer in the power of initiative and referendum, that the people ought to have a chance to vote on important issues that affected their lives as well as candidates. Unfortunately, despite the fact that in 1902, in 1910, and later in 1919, there were three statewide advisory referendums where the people overwhelmingly voted in favor of the power of initiative, both for the state of Illinois as well as for local governments, the General Assembly never put that constitutional amendment on the ballot. So what happened was, in 1970, there was a constitutional convention, and people were elected to be delegates, and unfortunately, Governor Dunn had passed away, as well as Governor Altgeld. But many of the believers of initiative, including Jane Addams, who was the first American woman to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, finally saw something happen with respect to the power of initiative. In the 1970 Constitution that the people ratified, it provided at the state level and at the local level, at the municipal and county level, a right of initiative. It wasn't all-encompassing. It was rather specific. But that right of initiative was really the first time ever in the history of Illinois' Constitution, we're in the 200th year of our state this year, that finally people had a right to petition to put a binding referendum on the ballot, even if the city council or the state legislature, the mayor, the governor didn't like it, the people could do it. And in 1980, that actually happened in our state. The referendum was put on the ballot to reduce the size of the Illinois House. It was a difficult enterprise. The powers that be were trying to keep it off the ballot. We finally had to go to the Supreme Court. We won the case. That's the first and only time in the history of Illinois that citizens have petitioned a binding referendum onto the statewide ballot, and it passed. Now, at the local level, 25 communities in Illinois over the last number of years have put a binding referendum on their municipal ballot calling for term limits on their mayor and sometimes on other officials in their local government. The purpose of the Constitutional Convention when it wrote the local government article is at that time, before the Constitution was passed, there was a straitjacket on local governments. Everything had to be done by Springfield telling local governments what to do. And there was a lot of resistance to that, especially here in the city of Chicago. The reason Mayor Richard J. Daley was so much for a new constitution is his hands were tied by people in Springfield who wanted to run matters here in Chicago. So one of the great innovations of the 1970 Constitution in Illinois was home rule and also an initiative process that allowed the people, as well as the governmental unit, to decide how they wanted their government locally structured, including how the officers would be elected, their terms of office, their manner of selection. Now, this has been used, as I said, in 25 different communities in Illinois, like Springfield, Naperville, Oak Lawn, Des Plaines. They've used the initiative process to collect signatures and put referendums on the ballot for term limits on their mayor. So 2.5 years, about 2 years ago, in 2016, we began a petition drive here in Chicago to collect the necessary signatures. You needed 8% of the number of people in Chicago who voted in the last election for governor in 2014. It came out to about 52,519 signatures. We began the petition drive. We gathered the signatures over this two-year period. And there, in June of this year, we announced we're getting very close. And lo and behold, by the end of the month of June, the city council, in 48 hours, at the behest of the mayor, put three advisory questions on the ballot, trying to hog the ballot and cancel out any opportunity for people to exercise their constitutional right. Well, we continued passing petitions. We filed them on August 6th. Within 7 days, the mayor's campaign manager oversaw an attack on our signatures, an unsuccessful attack. We had more than enough. We were found to have sufficient signatures, but they also attacked, on legal grounds, the right to be on the ballot. As Bert mentioned, they emphasized the rule of three, as if it's some kind of rule sent down from heaven, that we here in Chicago have to abide by the fact that the city council can put three advisory questions on the ballot to push off the citizen-initiated binding measure. So we have now gone to court. We filed this morning, as a matter of fact, a mandamus petition, a request to the Illinois Supreme Court, as we did in 1980, to take the decision of the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners to keep it off the ballot, to ask the court to overrule that and to put the issue on the ballot where it belongs. Because if we have a system that would allow any unit of local government to pass advisory questions to ward off those pesky voters who want to put something on the ballot that maybe the incumbents don't like, then the whole purpose of the initiative clause in the local government article would be eviscerated. It would be gone. And so that's really the heart of our case. This matter is on the ballot here in Chicago. People can vote on it. Matter of fact, some of the early voters have already voted yes. So the real issue before the court is whether or not the votes that are cast for the mayoral term limits will be counted by the state or by the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners. The key issue is, what is a constitutional right? Is it the right of everyday people, or is there some kind of special right for incumbents to push back the everyday people when they want to change?
I'm going to stop you there and have, okay. We'll get back to you on that. Okay. So there's a development, breaking news. There's a petition filed with the Supreme Court this morning. But I want to get to Cliff Kelly, who has observed Chicago politics for a long time, both short-term mayors and long-term mayors. And so what are your thoughts generally about term limits and whether that would be the right or the wrong thing for Chicago?
Thank you very much, Kristen. And I want to thank the City Club of Chicago, the great work that you continue to do. And the last time I was here, which wasn't too long ago, and the same thing happened today, unfortunately, I had something I had to do this morning which kept me from coming here to eat. But I will say this, the City Club does such a great job. First, they have it at Maggiano's, but secondly, they always give me a baggie to take home. So, I was already told that.
You're going to get your doggy bag.
I'm going to get my bag. I'm going to get my doggy bag. Yeah, this is a wonderful organization, and it's so great to see so many of you here, as you always are. And this is really a interesting discussion. In fact, when Governor Quinn was first talking about it, I was a delegate to the Constitutional Convention. And it's funny how you remember things. You know, I've been around since the earth was cooling, but people say things, sometimes you remember them. I don't think I ever would have thought of John Parkhurst. John Parkhurst was a lawyer from downstate, but the reason I have thought of him was he was the chairman of, in ConCon, of the local government committee. And I remember this was one of the things that we discussed. And the Democrats were in the minority in ConCon. But the great thing about that event was that everybody got along. Didn't matter. Crossed over and so forth and so on. And this is a good thing. But, it was funny because, as Bert mentioned, Freddie Bowler, they did reduce the size of the city council. There used to be
70.
That's right. There were 70 aldermen, 35 wards, two aldermen from each ward, and that's why the book was written, Lords of the Levy, and they finally reduced the number of aldermen. They made it knight at top hats and tails. When I was in the council, we didn't do that. But at any rate, the things that went on then, they changed the council to 50 wards, which I think still could be reduced. But then they had 35, but with two aldermen from each ward. So the Article 7 of the Constitutional Convention, and I really went back and looked at some of my notes relative to that, and of course we can easily do that now, thank goodness. And as Bird mentioned, this is a good argument. It's going to be very important to see how this works out. The organization, which still works, U.S. term limits. One of the big fights that's going on right now in the 6th congressional district in Kentucky is one person is for term limits and the other isn't. A lot of people want to see term limits, obviously, in the Congress. That's what they're talking about. They want congressmen to be there for a certain amount of time and to limit that. It's very interesting because I'm keeping up with some people that are there. The person who seemingly is more in favor of term limits seems to be winning the election. So it's going to be interesting to see this. A lot of people want fewer public officials, and you can understand that. A lot of people, however, don't understand exactly what a lot of their public officials do, what they should be doing, and that's what's important. I like to see people run for office. That's a good thing. The more we have, hopefully there's going to be a better government. I totally believe in that. The people have to participate. And I think what Governor Quinn has done is he really got the signatures that he needed, obviously. A lot of people say, hell, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. So we'll of course, see, Bert, how this finally works out. But it's going to be very interesting. I'm reading a headline, Kristen. I like this. This is from one of our local newspapers. Quinn's term limit effort hits a legal snag, but he says it's why Rahm dropped out.
So, let's ask him. I was.
You're going to mention that?
Well, yeah. I wondered if Governor, if you could tell us if this initiative was to knock Rahm out, if it was more of a personal issue, or you don't think he's leading the city in the right direction, or what was kind of the basis of your decision to go this far?
Well, it was not personal. It's based on policy. I was involved in a petition drive statewide in 1994 that sought to put term limits on Illinois state legislators in the House and Senate. That case went to the Illinois Supreme Court. We lost 4-3. Otherwise, the Speaker, the President of the Senate, all those people who are there now would have been term limited 8 years in 2002. So I believe in the cause. I want to thank Mark Wallace, who's here, and Andrea Rayla and Marie Mancuso and many other folks who passed our signatures, because what happened, Kristen, is on the Thursday before Labor Day, the Board of Election Commissioners determined that we had more than enough signatures to qualify for the ballot. So the Labor Day weekend happened, and then the Tuesday after Labor Day, the mayor made his announcement. And I think it did have a clear effect on him, because there would be a referendum on November 6th asking whether or not the mayor should be limited to two terms. Of the 10 biggest cities in America, 9 out of 10 already have term limits on their mayor. Chicago's the only one that doesn't. And we were giving voters that chance to, here in Chicago, make that decision. And I think Mayor Emanuel saw the handwriting on the wall.
Bert, do you think term limits is good public policy?
Yeah, I do. In the case in the Seventh Circuit, the Jones versus Quackenbush case, was based on a term limit proposition that the city that I drafted and the city council put on the ballot, and was contested by one of the aldermen.
In Calumet City?
In Calumet City. So term limits passed in Calumet City, was upheld in the Illinois Appellate Court and the Seventh Circuit in this case. And term limits, like reducing governments, always pass when they're on the ballot. It's just a matter of getting them on the ballot. And then if just one thing Governor Quinn said, I want to take a little exception to, and that is, the rule of three was not sent down from heaven. It was sent up from Springfield. Mm-hmm. And that is the only way it is going to change, is if the General Assembly changes the law.
So I was going to ask you about that. So the rule of three applies to any ballot, statewide, local, county. Any ballot can only have a maximum of three. And the purpose of that is so that the ballot isn't 18 pages long, right?
Okay. Yes. So any political subdivision, whether it be a school district, a municipality, the city of Chicago, can only have three on the ballot at one time. And you're right, that was the idea behind limiting it to three, is so that people don't have, like they do now for judges. There's so many judges on the ballot, you don't know who they are or who to vote for. General Assembly, in their infinite wisdom, and Cliff probably can talk about this, thought that we should limit the number so people can focus on the three that are on the ballot. Now, they didn't differentiate between whether advisory or binding referendum
or plastic straws
initiative, yeah, or initiatives by the city council. So the law has to be cleaned up a bit in order to allow fine citizen initiatives to get on the ballot without being blocked by the council.
Yeah, well, the crux of the case is, can a state statute that was passed actually before the 1970 Constitution, which gives us a state constitutional right — this is not a federal right that we have, it's created by our Illinois Constitution — that gives us the power to, by petition, to put binding referendums on the ballot regarding the officers of our municipality. If you allow the interpretation that Bert is talking about, where the rule of three can be passed in 48 hours by a city council, they can nullify the entire constitutional right. So you can't have a statute take away a constitutional right. That's what's really before the Illinois Supreme Court today. And you also see kind of the bad faith of especially the city council of Chicago, a supine city council, when the mayor said, put three questions on the ballot to keep that pesky referendum that would put permanent term limits on the mayor's office. They said, aye, aye, sir. Well, you cannot have that. You cannot have a situation where the power of the people, the initiative power, is taken away by city ordinance or state statute. And we're pleading to the Supreme Court to protect our rights, as they did in 1980. The legislature back then passed an anti-petition law, making it very difficult to collect signatures on a binding referendum at the statewide level. The Illinois Supreme Court said you cannot take away the initiative right on the pretext that you're trying to protect ballot integrity or whatever the case might be. They said the initiative right is a fundamental right that's subject to strict scrutiny, and only the least restrictive means can be used by legislatures or city councils. So I think it's a very important important case for the initiative process in Illinois, it will be certainly hurt if the city of Chicago and the mayor get away with what they tried to do.
And if I could just jump in real quick, it's maybe a throwing out a challenge to the city council, and actually I've spoken to two unnamed aldermen about this. The city council right now could put this initiative on the ballot for February or for April, right now.
One Same with the General Assembly. Go ahead.
Yeah, yep. One thing that the City Council certainly has needed, I even tried to do this when I was a member of that August body, they need, as most City Councils have, their own attorney. The City Council does not have their own attorney. The mayor has an attorney. He's whoever that is going to be with the mayor, not with the City Council. So they need that. But as far as the term limits go, most of the people I talk to, and I think, Kristen, I think when you ask here, the number of people who are in favor of term limits was greater than those who are not in favor, I believe.
Well, it is, and some of the questions kind of address this.
Yeah.
The General Assembly at any time could vote to put this on the ballot. He just doesn't even need governor's signature, but Obviously he's been calling for that, and I don't think the General Assembly wanted to give him any sort of a victory there, and I think the legislative leaders don't agree with it. But so a question to each of you, just do you think term limits are a good idea, or do you also buy into the argument against them that you end up removing institutional knowledge, and there's a lot of opinion that then lobbyists and staff members have more control over the process than the elected officials?
I believe that term limits are a good idea, and that's the reason that I was supporting Governor Quinn's idea of term limits. I think it's a good thing, and I think that's the reason that there are so many cities, as was mentioned, that have term limits. I don't think that's a bad thing, and that's why I mentioned the foundation for U.S. term limits is doing a lot. They are snowed under with requests. You know, that's the group out of Washington and out of D.C., and they're doing a great job in letting people know what they need to be doing in various states to bring about term limits in various levels of government.
Let's let the other two weigh in on that question. Are they a good idea, or do they remove institutional knowledge?
Let me jump in. I have always been a strong proponent of executive term limits based on the fact if it's good enough for the President of the United States, it's good enough for the mayor of the city of Chicago or the mayor of Calumet City. However, I feel differently about the legislative arm. I think because, as Pat said, the aldermen are like small, it's mini mayors of their own ward, it takes them a little while longer than maybe two terms to build up the knowledge and the community themselves. So I would be in favor of term limits for the legislative branch at a different number than the executive branch.
You mean not like 2 4-year terms,
no.
But
2 4-year terms is fine for a mayor or an executive or the governor. But I think for the legislative arm of the government, they need a longer time. Not 30 years, maybe not 20 years, but some limit.
How about 80? I think that's where we're at. Combined, the two Democratic leaders.
Well,
Governor Quinn?
I think if you really look at the principle of term limits, at the beginning of our country, it was not called term limits. It was called rotation of office. The founding fathers, including George Washington and others, they were very suspicious of concentrated power in one person for too long a period of time. They were especially suspicious of King George III of England, who we had told to take a hike. He was on the throne in England for 59 years. And so the people who started our country were not in favor of long, long tenure in one office by one person. They didn't call it term limits, but the idea of rotation of office is to make sure democracy was available to more than just a handful. They wanted more people to run for office and get elected for office. Now, as time has gone on, here we are in the 21st century, especially in Illinois, where certain people, whether they be aldermen or mayor or members of the legislature think they're entitled to these excessively long tenures. And I think term limits are very healthy to encourage competition. Look at all the competition we have for mayor of Chicago now after the mayor served two terms. And I think it's healthy to have that. And you'll get more people running, more ideas into the marketplace of ideas. And that's why I'm for it. And I really want to salute the people who signed and passed our petition. This was the most diverse petition drive I've ever been involved in. Black and white, Asian and Hispanic, people from all over the city signed and circulated the petition. And that's why it's very, very important, this case that's going hopefully to the Illinois Supreme Court, that we protect the right of initiative in Chicago and everywhere else in Illinois, so people have the right to tell the office holders what the people want them to do, rather than the office holders bossing us around.
Do you think the Bert? Do you think the three-issue rule is fair now that we're, now it's clear that it does get abused, and that really smart election lawyers like you use it for your clients when they are trying to block something that they don't want to see on the ballot? Do you agree that it's abused, and do you think it's something that the legislature should take up?
I can't use the term abused because I use it myself, so I can't, because it is a law, and as being a lawyer, and the lawyers in the room will appreciate this, you use the law that's there on behalf of your client. So is it abused? I think it has been abused, and should the General Assembly act to change it? From my perspective, yes, and they should make some special legislation to allow citizen initiatives to have equal footing with the city council initiatives. Both, I don't know how to do that, haven't thought about how to do that, but you certainly should allow a citizen initiative question like this one from the governors to be on the ballot after so many citizens have signed. And quite frankly, and I know the gentleman will agree with this, it's and the people who are running for office, it's very difficult to get signatures now. For the city of Chicago, you need 12,500 signatures to get on the ballot, which means you better file 30,000 signatures to have a shot at staying on the ballot. So it's very difficult because the pool of registered voters is shrinking. The people who take part is shrinking. So to get a citizen initiative of this size on the ballot says a lot. Unfortunately, I think for the governors, I don't think it's going to be successful in the Supreme Court because of the holding in our case in the U.S. Court of Appeals.
What is the timeline for that, Governor? When do you expect the Supreme Court to make a decision?
Well, time is of the essence. Obviously, the election's 5 weeks from today. But the court has acted quickly and promptly in other cases, whether it's the appellate court or the Supreme Court. Election cases do receive priority. And fortunately for us, the issue is on the ballot. Back in 1980, we had to sue the State Board of Elections and asked the Supreme Court to put the issue on the ballot. In this case, the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners decided they'd rather have it on the ballot and let people vote on it, and the court will tell them whether they can count the votes or not. So we want to encourage people to participate. Bert has mentioned several times this federal court decision that came this summer. That was under the federal Constitution, the U.S. Constitution. There is no right of initiative in the U.S. Constitution. I wish there was, but there isn't. But in Illinois, our state constitution does have a clear binding right of initiative. And that's really the nub of the case, whether or not we can exercise that right or whether office holders can use their power to put advisory questions on the ballot to extinguish the right.
So and I do think it'll... I'm sorry to interrupt, okay, but we do have a mayoral candidate here, Lori Lightfoot. Mm-hmm. So let's put her on the spot and ask her how she feels about mayoral term limits.
I support it.
She supports it.
I came out with a good government policy probably about a month ago. You know, the one issue that you haven't mentioned here today that why I think term limits is necessary, and I kind of started where you are thinking, you know, when this issue first came up probably 20, 30 years ago in California, that's why we have elections. But the reality is, when you think about the power of the incumbency, and we saw a lot of that before September 5th, handing out the largesse of government to supporters and people in neighborhoods. Plus, in Chicago, we have to be real about the fact people are afraid to go against an incumbent mayor. and the ability to raise massive sums of money, coupled with the largesse of government and the tools of incumbency, make it very difficult for anyone to take on and challenge an incumbent. So I think it's critically necessary, you know, and I can go on and on, but I've supported term limits, I support redistricting reform, all of those things I think are critically important to get people engaged again in government.
Can everybody hear that? Okay. Sure, yeah. So, and I will point out, this is Lori Lightfoot, who did get in the race before Rahm got out. So she was one of the groups, Vallis and others, McCarthy, who were willing to take on the mayor. And I think there's a distinction that should be made as voters as we move through, which candidates had the gumption to take on the sitting mayor, and then which ones are jumping in now because it's easier. But basically, her point is that the power of incumbency is so strong that it has led her over time to support term limits because it is so hard to be a challenger. People are afraid to challenge an incumbent. And I would add to that, I think when there's no term limits, and I used to hear this from Rahm's people during his first term, he really didn't do anything with the finances of the city in the first 3 or 4 years. And if you actually are a policy person, if you are trying to win office to push policy and you know you have this clock ticking of 8 years, you're not going to just let that first term go and make the tough decisions in the second term and then maybe the tougher decision in the third. And so term limits help push policy along that we critically need.
Can I just mention that representing Paul Vallis in this race, he too is a strong supporter of term limits. He's on record of saying
that.
Our
little plug-in for Paul.
You
should be here, Lori says.
He'll be here next week.
If you want to jump in.
Yeah, I would like to ask how many people think that Emanuel dropped out because of the fear of the term limits. I don't think so.
I'm going to answer that because I agree with you. You don't raise $10 million in 3 months and then you drop out because of this term limit question because his lawyers, one of which is a very respected election lawyer and one of my peers, told him it's not going to get on the ballot because of the Jones case. And actually, his lawyer texted me after the Jones case came out and said thank you. And then the city council went and passed 3 referendum questions to put on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the term limit.
I don't think so either. I think that he knew he wasn't going to make the
he
top.
Wasn't gonna win.
No, he wasn't going to be there.
Well, there would have been, though.
He can always say this, though, from an egotistical standpoint. Well, I didn't want to run, but if I had run, I would have won.
He was polling less than 30% in every single poll, so he wasn't going to win
and 30%
or get into the last
high.
Two. So that's why.
Yeah. Well, let me jump over to Governor Quinn, since we talk about this so much at the state level, too, and you've worked with the legislative leaders who, despite polls showing 80% of voters want term limits in Springfield, too. What was your experience in working with them, and would they ever consider putting it on the ballot? And if not, what is your insight into why?
Well, I was state treasurer in 1994 when we gathered almost 500,000 signatures to put, we called it 8 is enough. That was a term limit on legislators, House and Senate members. We got more than enough signatures. Supreme Court took the case. It was a very closely divided decision of 4-3 against us. If one judge had a different vote, it would have been on the 1994 ballot, and I think it would have passed. And we'd have a completely different dynamic in the Illinois General Assembly. Having been state treasurer and lieutenant governor and then governor and dealing directly with the legislative leaders, Democrat and Republican, when I was governor, no matter what they may say, they don't want term limits, including the Republicans who are now saying they're for term limits. I think the only way to really get it is some kind of initiative where the people put it on the ballot. That would take the Supreme Court changing their mind on the case we lost, or, you know, members of the General Assembly by 3/5 of each House putting it on the ballot for the people to vote on. And I think that would be a healthy thing to do. Because too often in Springfield, several panelists here have mentioned the big money in politics. It's bigger than ever. And term limits are the ultimate campaign finance reform. For for both executive and legislative officials. We're in the age of Citizens United, where just about anything goes when it comes to money, all kinds of loopholes. And I just don't think it's healthy to have people with long tenures in one place. That's what the founding fathers of our democracy felt concerned about, and I think we should feel it today. And it would require leadership by the Democrat and Republican leaders to try and get those three-fifths in each house to put it on the ballot.
I wonder if there's anyone in the room who could speak to a certain level of frustration. I mean, here we are. We're talking about term limits. We've been talking about them for forever. Citizen Initiative, funded in large part by Governor Rauner, I think, a few years ago. I mean, they gathered like 500,000 signatures. Do you know what an undertaking that was? And it still got kicked off the ballot when the lawyer for the Democratic Party challenged it in court. There just doesn't seem to be a way for voters to be heard. And even though we have Democratic majorities in both chambers and you have legislative candidates saying they support it, they don't pressure their leaders, obviously, to get it on the floor. So is there any is there anyone who could speak to whether there is a level of frustration there, or is this just something we've come to accept, that we're not going to have it?
Sure. I was actually counsel for that initiative.
Do you want to come and talk to people in the back?
Yeah, Joe Moore, too.
Okay.
Kristen, the all-around ones. He'd be a good one.
So the question is whether we can, in this state, actually get real reform when it comes to redistricting. I was actually lead counsel for Yes for Independent Maps, and then later in Independent Maps. We got a huge outpouring of support all across the state. I think 60-70% of the electorate indicated in our polling that they favored redistricting reform. We spent millions of dollars to get the petitions signed, circulated. We faced the same challenges in the State Board of Elections, and we survived that challenge. But then it went up to the Illinois Supreme Court, and on a party line vote, the Democrats in the Supreme Court voted it down, and worse, didn't give any guidance on how to perfect the citizen initiative in the amendment that we were proposing. So no one's going to take the risk, having done it twice now and failed, to put the millions of dollars that are necessary behind redistricting reform when the Supreme Court decision is out there that just strikes it down without giving any particular guidance on what a constitutional amendment would look like. So frankly, the reality is, unless the legislature suddenly gets courage, which is not going to happen, the only way that we're going to get redistricting reform is if we get a constitutional amendment on the ballot, which means, you know, people in this state have to pressure the General Assembly to do the right thing. Otherwise, we're going to continue to have hyper-gerrymandered districts. We're going to continue to have a situation where, for example, I think the last election in March, over 60% of the incumbents had no primary challenger, and the number goes up when you get to the general election. We are clearly in a state where the legislators are choosing their voters instead of the other way around. So I could go on and on, but I'll stop.
Alderman Moore, did you want to speak? Yeah, come on up. We're a small group today, you know. How many years have you been in office? Just remind us.
Hi. For anyone who doesn't know me, and I'm sure there are a few, I'm Joe Moore. I've been proud and honored to represent the 49th Ward of Chicago, the Rogers Park community, for the last 27 years. Oh, yes. So maybe I'm for a 9-term limit or something like that. But seriously, and this, I'm against term limits, obviously, for the simple reason that they're anti-democratic, and they take the power away from the people through their elected representatives and give it to the unelected lobbyists and unelected bureaucrats who have the knowledge and know how government operates, as opposed to a 1- or 2-term elected official. I think you don't have to look any further than the state of California to see the folly of term limits and the musical chairs of elected officials going from the state house to the county board to the city council. It's not getting rid of career politicians, but what it's doing is giving power into the hands of the unelected officials. Secondly, if the founders, Governor Quinn, wanted to have term limits, they could have easily put them in the Constitution. There were no term limits in the Constitution because I think they felt that the people themselves had the wisdom to decide whether someone should be reelected or thrown out. And if incumbency was such a powerful thing, Governor Quinn, and let me say, this is not a throwaway line. Governor Quinn is someone I admire. He's a good friend of mine, and that's not a throwaway line. We are good friends. I've supported him for just about every office he's run for, but I strongly disagree with him on this issue. And if the power of incumbency were that strong, Governor Quinn would still be governor. If the power of incumbency were that strong, Rahm Emanuel would still be running for re-election. If the power of incumbency were that strong, Governor Rauner wouldn't be one step out from being governor of the state of Illinois right now. In other words, people do have the power. And it seems to me that if the people believe that someone is doing a good job in office, that they should have that power, that ability, to exercise their judgment and wisdom to put that person back in office.
Thank you, Alderman.
It's as simple as that.
Thank you.
No other profession, and I'll stop right here, there's no other profession that I'm aware of where experience is viewed as a vice. You don't want to have an inexperienced brain surgeon operating on you. You don't want to have an inexperienced attorney representing you in court. Why do you want to have an inexperienced elected official representing you on some of the most important issues facing our country, our city, and our state?
Thank you. You want to wrap up? I don't know if Governor Quinn, if you want to take 1 minute to respond to any of that, or should we just wrap it up?
Well, I think the issues we heard about redistricting, term limits, I think the ultimate expression of the people is where they petition something on the ballot and then get to vote on it. To me, that's what real democracy is, and that's why I believe in the power of initiative. And if we were here 100 years ago, we would have had John Peter Altgeld, one of the greatest governors in Illinois history, and Edward Dunn, who came after him, another governor, and this governor, who believe in the full-fledged power of initiative. And frankly, if we want to do things on a lot of different subjects, we really need to have what they have in Missouri, Ohio, and Michigan, the power of initiative to put any issue on the ballot. In Ohio and Michigan, they're both voting on redistricting reform this very year. Missouri just rescinded a law passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, called Right to Work, and they're voting on raising the minimum wage. Are the citizens of those states smarter than the people of Illinois, the voters of Illinois? I don't think so, and I think it's time to realize what Jane Addams said, 100 years ago, that the best way to cure the ills of democracy is more democracy.
Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to thank our panelists. And by the way, you know, they talked about this rule of three. Did you listen closely to what Joe Moore had? He had his own three. He had Quinn, he had Emanuel, and he had Rauner. The Moore rule of three. Okay. Let's give our panelists and our moderator a big round of applause.